Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
A name, image, likeness, truth has emerged. And it's outright shocking. Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. It's true. Derek King came cheap. No other way about it. If we go back to July 1st, 2021, I believe that there was a player at Tennessee State, maybe a defensive lineman, offensive lineman, somebody at Tennessee, I think, at Tennessee Tech, I think technically signed the very first ever name, image, likeness deal. But, I mean, within a whisper of that, Derek King, he became one of the rulers of name, image, likeness land. The very first day, July 1st, last summer, the very first day that name, image, likeness deals could be signed by college athletes, Derek King signed three. By week one, as of September 3rd of last season, when the season started, Derek King had signed endorsement deals with six businesses. College Hunks, it's a hauling junk and moving company. The Wharf, which is sort of a waterside party restaurant little strip. What is it? Second Avenue in Nashville? And is it 6th Street in Austin? I don't know. The French Quarter, whatever. It's that same sort of, it ain't the French Quarter, but it's that same sort of, it's a little party area. Murphy Auto Group. Dreamfield, company that provides student athletes various marketing opportunities, like we'll arrange appearances and such for you to profit. And then Panini America, which makes trading cards, mostly basketball and football, but that's about, Fanatics has purchased everything, so whatever. And then the Florida Panthers, the hockey team. Interesting. You got the quarterback to promote the hockey team. You got a black college athlete to promote the National Hockey League team. Interesting. All right, good for you. Open other doors. So by the time the season had started, in essentially 2 months, the Miami quarterback, who it was, he was healthy, man, just a magician out there. The Miami Hurricanes starting quarterback had signed six deals. College Hunks hauling junk and moving, he received an immediate five-figure signing bonus. So he got 10 grand right up front. The Wharf signed him to various appearances at places throughout the Wharf. It would be like the party district saying, hey, come on out and see Justin Bieber or whoever, except this time it's Derek King. $2,000 an hour. Murphy Auto Group. I said he came cheap, right? He got $10,000 to sign with the moving company, plus commission for anybody to put in the Derek King code. He was signed for appearances at $2,000 an hour. The Murphy Auto Group gave him a $10,000 signing bonus. It's a dealership group. Dreamfield, which arranges for celebrity signings and appearances and whatever else, $2,000 an hour, third most behind Mackenzie Milton. I don't believe he got a lot of bookings once the season started. And Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral. Matt Corral is getting $10,000 an hour. I'm going to tell a true story. Leaving a ball game, I'm not going to implicate anyone or whatever, but it happens. $50 in the parking lot to a varsity player who had showered and his home game, showered, changed, walking out, hanging with his family outside, and then it just a $50 handshake. It's like, you know what? Here's a little bonus. I appreciate what you did today. That's not what this is anymore. This is Matt Corral shows up at your kid's birthday party because you're a maca, and it's 10 grand for him. Panini America, trading cards. Folks, it all continues. Does any of this sound like he came for cheap? What are you talking about, Chuck? Well, the timing sweet spot for college football players getting paid through name, image, likeness. Folks, the bottom line, I just went through six deals. $10,000, $2,000 an hour, $5,000 up front. And that was cheap. The timing sweet spot for De'Arik King to get paid through name, image, likeness. The bottom line of how much cash is possible. It seems to be since the end of the regular season this past January, not July 1st when it was the Oklahoma land rush. The reason I can talk about De'Arik King coming cheap when he got six deals, and I mean it was, I believe the kids would call it fat stacks. The reason he came cheap, the reason Bo Nix, $20,000 to stand there with tea. Do you know why Bo Nix came cheap? $20,000 to drink tea, and he didn't get enough. Bryce frickin' Young, who I correctly gave Nick Saban credit when this happened. Do you remember? I think it was the week before the opener. He had $1 million worth of potential name, image, likeness deals. And the word came out that he actually had signed about $800,000 worth, and it was roughly half of what he had been offered. And I was like, folks, I know we talk all the time about how Alabama's a pro franchise. I know exactly what happened. Whoever the adults in the room in Tuscaloosa are advising the kids told Bryce Young, sign for half. Leave that other $800,000 out there. See what happens to it. You know what happened 1 week into the season? That other half of his endorsement offerings is worth a way, way, way lot more. Bryce Young came cheap. And his total haul might have been $2 million. And he came cheap. Because he wasn't necessarily the one being bid on. What has propelled this is the first offseason where players can put themselves up for bid. With a July 1st debut last year, it was way more about paying today's players to entice tomorrow's possible recruit. Now it's become flat-out lures. Glittering prizes. Johnny, tell him what he's won. A high school stud on the block, a legit burner, a possible monster off the edge. Yeah, that'll get my interest as business-owning graduate of Power 5 program. Or maybe Charlie Batch offering $1 million for the Oklahoma quarterback to transfer to Eastern Michigan. See, that's a little different. It's not even Power 5 at that point. Is Charlie Batch going on Twitter saying, hey, dude leaving OU, come to Eastern Michigan, $1 million. Oh. So, yeah. De'Arik King, Bo Nix, Bryce Young, every one of them last summer, we saw just a giant fat stacks of cash. Every last one of them came cheap.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. A month ago, Florida wrapped up what they called its spring practice, its spring game, and I was talking to folks in the media around the Gators program about the quarterback battle, i.e., I was talking to folks who cover the program about, hey, will Anthony Richardson separate during the spring? How did it look in the, quote, game? That was a month ago. Over the last 2 weeks, I can't find a 2023 NFL mock draft that doesn't have Anthony Richardson in the top 10. It seems a bit much to go in a month from will he start at Florida, which was always the likelihood, especially after Emory Jones left, in my opinion. But will he like, how is he looking at spring practice to he's a top 10 pick? All right, I'll roll with you. And so I've said, who's the most reputable? It's CBS Sports. It's all these real places. SI.com, I click on it to read. And they start talking about Cam Newton. Like, Cam Newton led the SEC in rushing as a quarter. He scored 50 touchdowns. Okay, maybe that's what Florida has. He did look really good in the spring game, though. I want to bring on now a guy who covers the Florida Gators for the Orlando Sentinel. It is Edgar Thompson. Edgar, how are you, brother?
Yeah, hey, Chuck. Doing fine. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, appreciate your time. 50 touchdowns seems like a bit much to even talk about in passing with Anthony Richardson, but okay, I'll play. You tell me the blue sky for AR-15 in 2022.
The Cam Newton references are, I understand because of the stature of each guy, even though Cam probably a little bit bigger. You know, and you see the run pass threat potential. But we do need to tap the brakes a little bit. We don't want to set the bar so high for Anthony he can't begin to achieve to reach it. That's arguably now recently maybe Joe Burrow has eclipsed it. You could argue that season Cam Newton had was the greatest by a quarterback in the history of college football. So if that's the bar, that's going to be unachievable. I mean, Cam Newton that year had 50 touchdowns, as you said. I mean, he carried that team. Who was drafted off that team other than Fraley? I don't know that anyone was. And, I mean, who lasted in the NFL? He had nothing around him. So it was like he carried that team to a national championship in 2010. So, you know, rushed for 1,500 and threw for almost 3,000. So it's like, yeah, I think Anthony has tremendous potential. His skill set, he flashed some – huge play potential. What do you have? 6 touchdowns of 30-plus last year. Had a couple of runs over 73, I think, touchdown runs over 70 yards. So the guy is definitely – I'm excited to watch him. And he's going to need to be transcendent for this team because this team has some holes and question marks. But, you know, again, tap the brakes. The kid isn't even 20 years old yet. In fact, that's coming up this month.
I was talking with somebody in the coaching game, and he is between places right now. He got fired in December. And I was asking about the Florida running backs last year. Said it was one of the worst. He said there was talent there. One of the worst jobs of usage of quality running backs maybe in America. I like Naquan Wright a whole lot. I still look at Lingard and Bowman as the guys that, hey, what can they do? How can they carry me? It just seems more sustainable over 13 weeks with them, but tell me what you believe.
Well, I'll tell you, the guy you didn't mention is Montrell Johnson, the transfer.
Transfer, yeah.
That guy, he looked really strong in the spring, the little glimpses we got. Looked good in the spring game, low to the ground, low center of gravity, you know, good balance, vision. He had a strong first season there at Louisiana. I get it. He's running against Sun Belt competition and not SEC defenses. But I think Billy brought him here for a reason. It's going to be a crowded running back room. It has been at Florida for a while, but is it crowded with great talent or just kind of average guys? But now I think there's some pretty good high-end talent. Montrell Johnson, if Bowman's the one who intrigues me, I'm just wondering, was he hurt? You know, hurt his knee last spring. Was he 100%? Is he not picking up what Dan Mullen wanted him to do? Is Billy going to get him to simplify? Is he going to simplify things? I don't know. Sometimes these coaches, if you're not protecting the quarterback, you're not getting on the field. Maybe he's not good at that. Lingard's been another mystery. Another 5-star guy with tremendous physical tools. So you have choices. And as you said, Naquan Wright, I mean, he's a senior in the group, and he's shown some flashes himself. So how they're going to deploy those guys is going to be very interesting. But the offensive line, again, is, you know, spotlight on it. because it is year after year after year. We're going back to like the Martez Ivy freshman year, even before that,
yeah,
where we've been talking about the offensive line annually. Is it going to be a formidable unit? Because you got to have one of those in the SEC to really, you know, they got away with not having a great one with Kyle Trask in that receiving core, but they have not been a good running team other than maybe the 18 season otherwise.
Trent Whittemore. I just remember hearing like way too much about, man, if we just get him back, there's some guys in the receiver corps that I have gotten excited about. You know, Shorter's another one of them. You and I have talked about him. And it just don't look like it's happening for any of them. Even Copeland, I looked at, I was like, he's really talented. Why isn't there more? Tell me what you think about Trent Whittemore.
He's a good guy in the slot. He's a guy, sure hands. He's gotten injured a couple of times. He hurt the rib 2 years ago. He had a hamstring injury this spring. Got to stay healthy. The issue with the receivers, Chuck, that I've seen is separation. Is can these guys get open? They have a new receivers coach, Kerry Colbert. He played in the NFL. He was the coach at USC, coached some good guys. He needs to get these – the route running needs to be refined to the point where they are separating and getting out of their breaks as quickly as possible, because you just don't have the speed to burn at that position that you kind of want and maybe need, especially in the SEC. It's interesting. Billy arrived, Napier. They had three guys in the fold, Isaiah Bond, Chandler Smith, Orlando kid, Jaden Gibson, another Orlando kid. And they didn't end up keeping any of the commitments from those guys. All were about top 200 inside, and Bond was a 75, top 75 guy. He's now at Alabama. You know, Smith is at Georgia and Gibson's at Oklahoma. So these guys end up at good spots. They would have been nice pieces to have. I think Shorter certainly kind of going to be the alpha male of the group in terms of leadership, but is he going to be a dominant player, the five-star player that he came out of high school in 18 and went to Penn State and then transferred here? Is he going to be that player? He's been solid and serviceable, but not like a game changer.
I agree.
Xavier Henderson's the other guy. Xavier Henderson was a top 75 recruit, and he hasn't shown the speed and explosiveness of his big brother, CJ, the cornerback. And I think the guy's got tools, but again, you got to get open, man. And in the SEC, you're going against NFL talent at the cornerback position often.
Yep, good speed, but not great. It doesn't really work it in this this conference. Edgar, it's always great stuff, brother. Thank you, man.
Hey, thanks, Chuck. Take care, man.
Edgar Thompson, Orlando Sentinel. Get him OS Gator, Orlando Sentinel's Gators. Get him on Twitter there. Like, you remember Freddie Swain? I think Freddie Swain would be so valued on this year's roster. And he's a really good receiver. He might be transformational based on everybody who's around him. Because, like, Freddie, pick him up and put him down. And they just really have an odd combination out there right now.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Friday. Turning 100% wuss has now come to dang near every corner of the sports world. We now have load management and horse racing. Have we seen this? Now, Rich Strike, I told you, Rich Strike wasn't going to win the Triple Crown. He wasn't going to win the Preakness, certainly not the Belmont. Rich Strike will not participate in the Preakness. Load management, it's like Kawhi Leonard. Rich Strike won't play Saturday. He will be rested in preparation for this other event. Rich Strike is an animal. It's a healthy animal specifically trained to run real fast. And Rich Strike is also being held out of the Preakness to make certain he's ready for the conference schedule or the postseason run or something. So if you were going to watch a little horse racing next weekend, you can go ahead and pass. Want to welcome on right now a guy who I don't think he talks horse racing on the Buckeye Show. I'm pretty certain what the subject is. 97.1 The Fan and C-Bus. I'm going to call him good friend of the program, good friend of mine, Tim Hall. Brother, how are you today?
Chuck, I'm good. And just hold on a second. I got a lot of family from Baltimore, Maryland. So my uncles were always hanging out at the horse tracks. They used to take the kids. They used to get the kids out of school, and they would tell the wives, we took the children to the zoo today, honey. And they'd say, what do you mean? Not the horse tracks again. Yeah, sort of the zoo. The animals are there, though. But how dare you besmirch our Derby winner. I hope you were talking about James Harden today and how he wouldn't even shoot the basketball. It's kind of the same thing.
I'm serious, man. I love horse racing. I always have. In fact, I went to college in the Deep South, and I remember explaining horse racing to some of my fraternity brothers, and that, like, when it pays $22.60, they're like, well, I bet $10. That's $226. I'm like, that's not how it works. See, it's a $2
bet. No, buddy.
It's a $2 bet that you have already given them. So then they looked and I was like, oh, well, it's still about $80. I'm like, yes, be happy about that. So that's kind of how it goes.
Hey. The good news is, if you're not going to be betting on Rich Strike, there's lots of futures college football bets that you could be making. And it's becoming legal almost everywhere. And it's rip-roaring coming to Ohio here probably by the end of the year. We're just hoping by kickoff for the 2022 college football season.
Now, we'll talk about this a little bit because I didn't plan on going here, but it's good. I was in Aruba about 10 years ago, and I was in like a little gas station, like a convenience store. And I saw an ATM next to the register, except while I was waiting in line, I looked at it, and I was like, that's a betting kiosk. So I walked up and got like a Cowboys Packers parlay while waiting to get a paper and a Gatorade.
Oh, God, that's awesome.
That is what I'm waiting for, like in the stadiums. I haven't been to the Raiders' new crib out there in Vegas, but it's almost like we're bordering on what has been for decades in Great Britain, where you're walking down the street and there is your opportunity to place a wager.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, there's the perfect thing here. Is this is all coming at a time when the NCAA, well, supposedly they're deciding to deregulate. And I know our own athletic director here at Ohio State, Gene Smith, who's got a lot of pull with all of his college football buddies, he made those comments about how they should be run by the college football playoff. And he said, I'm just throwing an idea out there, even though this has been well thought out behind the scenes for probably 5 years now. So you're not making some comments and just say, I'm just spitballing.
Just talking
things down on a napkin. Yeah, and I'm just throwing it out there. But I wonder, and you probably know too, because it's just how college sports is. They're finicky with this stuff. They're going to be slow to accept reality and how much money they're ultimately going to make with sports betting and legalized sports betting. It's going to be done. They probably don't want the optics of having those cool kiosks that you speak of in their stadiums, right? That probably will be a slow process before they jump all the way in. I wonder how that's going to go. And it's funny because you should just do it right when it becomes legalized because you're going to do it eventually. Why miss out on a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, however long it takes for them to catch up to that?
Tim, one thing I've talked about for years, I said, and again, especially in my part of the country, Bible Belt, where, have a beer, you may go to hell, or buy a lottery ticket, same thing.
I'll see you there, my man.
That when you hear anything, especially with college sports in the South, anything introduced as a pilot program or a one-year test, I'm like, folks, that's so they won't have nuns protesting. But once they turn on the beer taps in Oxford, they ain't turning them off.
Right.
What is the alcohol sales situation in C-Bus?
Oh, it's full-fledged. And that's a good point you bring up because I actually don't know this. Maybe you know this. If there was a rule, if the NCAA had a rule against that up until recently, because certainly universities and campus athletic facilities were able to choose. I mean, it's everybody's right to serve alcohol or not serve alcohol. There's just you know, you basically throw $1 million of revenue minimum
yep.
onto the top of whatever you're making. That's just conservatively speaking. So everyone knows why you do it. I mean, you can go and get a beer at Nationwide Arena in Columbus when you're watching the Jackets. So you may as well have them at the Schottenstein Center if you're going to watch hockey or women's or men's basketball. And then the same thing for Ohio State football. I've been here since 2012. I couldn't say for sure if they had alcohol sales at that point in time, but definitely the last 5 years, maybe more. And, you know, you've got, you know, like every major city, you know, this size or bigger, even smaller, microbrews are taking over. And there's some good ones in Columbus. And one of the ones here struck a deal with, I think, to be the sole pourer of, you know, I don't know if they're Bud Light or Coors Light for their domestic brew, but the guys at Land Grant have a beer that they basically tailor-made to one day be the beer for Ohio State because the can is red, and it's called Stiff Arm Ale. It's got, you know, sort of a, I don't know if they've got Hopalong Cassidy or whatever, you know, Janowitz, whatever, you know, throwback Ohio State player on the can.
What awesome names.
Something that was made to be in the stadium, yeah.
Yeah, Ohio State with their 6 or 7 or 8 Heismans, whatever it is.
Two for Archie, though. You could take, you know,
oh, yeah, that's
two
true.
The same guy. Yeah.
let me ask you, are you a Chicago Bear? I know you're a Bengals fan, but are you a Bears fan at all? Or you're at least aware of their history, right?
My family, you know, I just mentioned I've got Baltimore family. That Baltimore family, they migrated to Northwest Indiana in the 60s. So, yeah, my mom and dad both grew up right outside of Chicago. So you basically name any city, and I've got some kind of connection to it, Chuck. That's a rule of thumb.
I was having a conversation a couple years back with a good friend of mine he's just Bears fan. He's not in the media or anything. And he said, do you realize we've been playing football for 100 years, and we've had 2 great quarterbacks in a century? And I was like, really? And he said,
are you counting Jay Cutler as one of them?
He said Sid Luckman and Jim McMahon. I was like, well, Jim McMahon was more good.
Yeah.
All right, Ohio State. This is not possible because we just said the pile of Heisman winners and, you know, whatever else, and All-Americans and national championships and Ohio State. Who's the pro quarterback from the Buckeyes program?
Like, you're talking about before it's Mike Tomczak. And
that can't be the answer.
It is true.
Okay.
And we've been talking about this ever since I took over the Buckeye show. This has been
it's
topic
not possible.
That you can circle back to. It's the weirdest thing.
Tim, to play for 130 years, anybody, okay, Idaho or Minnesota, whoever, 130 years of Buckeye level of football?
It doesn't make sense.
All right,
yeah.
So how can that happen? And within maybe 2 calendar years, 3 drafts, you have the number 11 pick and maybe the first overall.
It's insane, really. And look, I know Dwayne, it didn't work out with Washington, but we don't really know what his final story was going to be.
Yep.
He rest in peace. He was a 15th overall draft pick, and I do think it's important to give Dwayne a ton of credit for
You're
what
right.
he
I
did.
You're right. I left him out.
He
yeah.
was the first guy. He was the first guy since Troy who had that kind of arm talent. He hands down the first guy since Troy. And he had better arm talent than Troy, who won the Heisman, last guy to win it at Ohio State in 2006. But I think that opened up the eyes to all of the young kids that weren't just specifically dual threat QBs, because Urban was very enamored with those guys that could run. He was big into getting that extra blocker, right, and that threat of the QB run. But when you saw Dwayne come in there and just put the ball into a window wherever he wanted to, if they had good enough blocking on the O-line and they had these wide receivers that could run routes and just abuse the opposing Big Ten DBs and get 5 yards of separation, who the heck cares about the QB run? You're going to get a couple of 4- and 5-star running backs behind that said offensive line and have Dwayne sit back there and pick them apart. And then it just opened a floodgate. And then you got this quarterback guru kind of guy, like Chip Kelly is to up-tempo offense, Ryan Day is to coaching up quarterbacks and eyeballing and recruiting QBs. That's fitting because Day is a Chip Kelly
yep.
guy also. But, yeah, you go to Justin Fields then, C.J. Stroud, and even the guys you recruit that haven't played, 5-star guys, Quinn Ewers, Kyle McCord, Devin Brown, And then Dylan Raiola this week. They start on 2024 with a five-star quarterback. They got their roadmap set up, and they're just they're changing the way they've played around here. That's for sure.
You know, I wanted to ask you about after losing two more studs off the receiver core, if Emeka Jr. and Jackson Smith and Jigba can be an even better receiver core in 2022. Is that bar too high?
I don't remember if we mentioned him the last time we spoke, but I'm big on the Emeka Egbuka train because of just what a competitor he is and what he did on special teams last year. We're waiting to see a punt return or kick return get busted, and my goodness, did this guy take so many past the 50, but he always got tripped up before they could get pay dirt. But, yes, I don't know if the stats will be better than that trio. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to have to figure it out now being the guy. But Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Egbuka will be right there ready to take advantage the same way that Jackson Smith and Jigba did last year. So I think it's going to be darn close.
All right, Timmy, I appreciate your time. We got to have our little viral moment, so we're going to tweet out. Tim Hall says, Jay Cutler, great NFL quarterback. That'll be our provocative tweet for the day, okay?
Please don't say that about me.
Timmy, appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
All right, man. See you.
All right, Tim Hall again, 97. Don't tweet that out. I think it was more of a question. What, Jay Cutler? Chicago Bears, who obviously pre-Super Bowl, they were a lot more than they have. Didn't they draft Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus in the same draft? And I don't think they ever played a playoff game with them. So by the time the Super Bowl came around, Bears Day had sort of come and gone. They did get the Super Bowl 20 in 86, but Bears, an unbelievable franchise, pre-Super Bowl mostly, like the first half of their 100 years. And they've had two, I'll say, really, really impactful quarterbacks, because McMahon, what he did, the numbers wise, the numbers were fine, but it was a different sort of approach offensively and, you know, whatever, a different time for everybody, but especially with McMahon. And it was based around Walter Payton. And Jim McMahon was just sort of really good. What he brought in other areas, leadership, toughness, really one of the first NFL quarterbacks, you know, he's a superstar quarterback, but he works out with the offensive lineman, that sort of guy. To play 100 years in the NFL and be successful and have really 1.5 great quarterbacks, it's the same thing Ohio State. They've got the resume. I mean, Saban has tilted it, obviously, over the past decade plus, but Ohio State's resume is they're VIP at the VIP. Like, there's the other rope. I got invited to a Super Bowl party when it was in Houston back in 2004. The players' party. I was like, oh, okay. I walked in. I was like, oh, I'm not at the real party. The real party is on that second level. And a buddy of mine who had come down that actually got played for the Detroit Lions, Ryan Stewart. He was, because he had an NFL players card. He was like, oh, no, Chuck. The real party's on the third floor. You can't even see the real party. I was like, Ohio State, they're at the real party. With Bama, Notre Dame, they have a resume beyond compare practically in college football. Their quarterbacks in the NFL, Tim said Mike Tomczak. If you don't know Mike, you know who Mike Tomczak was? Mostly, do you know? He was Jim McMahon's backup. The guy that I just said was half of a really good quarterback, but mostly leadership and toughness. Tomczak was his backup in the NFL. And Tim Hall says, oh, yeah, Ohio State quarterback on Sundays, Tomczak by far. Okay, maybe. Maybe. And they're going to go, what was Haskins, 15 or 16 or 17 overall? Like 17, 11, and possibly 1. Wow. All right, we break, wrap up hour one next.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
NIL was thought to be name, image, and likeness. I don't see nobody on nothing but I kiss. We're seeing all these deals and all these cats get paid, which I love, I adore. But this ain't NIL. This is pretty much a booster, a funder breaking off college players.
Coach Prime. He's head coach at Jackson State, and he's talking about name, image, likeness, and how it's tough on Jackson State because they don't have the same alumni financial opportunities to their current athletes and recruits because their alumni base doesn't have the same deep roots in the business world, and so that's where the money comes from. He's right about all that. Travis Hunter went to Jackson State. Why? He and Dion both love bass fishing. Wasn't that it? Yeah, that was Dan, wasn't that the story that we went bass fishing and we connected over a love of getting out on a boat on a Saturday afternoon. I don't think that's why Travis Hunter, the nation's number one recruit at any position, went to Jackson State. Now, did you get a lot of kids? No, you didn't. There was another one. Was it, I want to get the kid's name right. Was it Kevin Coleman? There was a receiver, maybe a slot receiver. There was a pretty highly – and there were maybe three or four really highly recruited kids that wound up at Jackson State, and they're all getting name, image, likeness deals. Now, that's probably where it caps with them. And I will say that I'm going to spin the wheel and let it land on Nebraska. If Nebraska had gotten four ESPN 300 recruits, and then everybody else just guys – that's not going to help Nebraska, not a whole lot. I mean, like Adrian Martinez, do you ever watch him play quarterback at Nebraska? It was hot and cold because it was just weirdness around him a lot of times, but that kid was just fabulous. He's Kansas State now, right? Yes, I'm trying to – I'm supposed to know that. I do know that. But he was just a wizard back there, and it was so bad that – his head coach has had to been saved the past 2 years from being fired. Adrian's like, yeah, I'm going to get on out of here. Nebraska went and got them a new quarterback. So actually a couple. So that's what four players gets you in a Power 5 conference. Four really, really, really awesome players. That's what they get you. If you hit on them, you don't always hit on them. Who was Tim Hall was just talking about. No. It was at Edgar Thompson. Just mentioned Martez Ivey. Do y'all remember Martez? Martez was the nation's number one ranked offensive lineman. He was going to be a left tackle for 3 years and then bought into the NFL draft. Martez Ivey played guard some and then played some tackle. And I think Martez was really good. That's what Martez was. He was the first overall recruit at any offensive line position. He went to Florida. And he was really good. Do you know how otherworldly he was in comparison to the number one, I think that year, the number one ranked defensive line recruit? That was Byron Cowart. Remember Byron Cowart? Five-star kid, goes to Auburn. Think he had a sack in 2 years or however long he sent there. I think he had a sack, I think. And it was like an Arkansas State or Alabama State sort of Saturday. I might be off on that, but... it never happened for Byron. And Byron wasn't a bad kid. It just didn't happen for him. So he transferred to Maryland, tried to make it happen a little bit, tried to get himself into the NFL. Florida got the number one ranked recruit in America. Auburn got the number one ranked recruit in America. They probably had three or four of them. You know what got them? Jackson State got four ESPN 300 recruits. I think it was four maybe, or three. Do you know what that's going to do for them? They could win a national championship at their level. With those exact same recruits that Jackson State was able to bring in, name, image, like, with such a limited scope, do you know what those kids would have done at NC State if that's the only three near that level, comparatively to who you play against, near that level that you could have recruited? It'd be really good for NC State. It'd be like when NC State had, Mario Williams, who was the other kid? Manny Lawson. Do you realize there was a draft where NC State... actually, I think they had McCargo. Wasn't it Jonathan McCargo, the defensive? They had three defensive starters go in the first round, NC State. Make sure that was the same draft. Three defensive starters. You know what NC State was when they had, I think, three guys off their defense go in the first round? You know what they were? They're pretty good. You get that at Jackson State? So Deion Sanders griping and moaning and carrying on and saying that's silly. What he's saying is correct. The issue is he's talking about Jackson State being able to consistently out-recruit Texas and LSU and Oklahoma. That's not the point. You need to consistently out-recruit Grambling and Southern and Prairie View. And Coach Prime knows that. And he also knows that we're probably not going to pay a whole lot of attention to it. We're just going to say, hey, there's Deion. And we all love Deion so much that we'll probably just go along with it. And again, the substance of what he's saying is accurate. He's just comparing the Jackson State program to programs he doesn't play against.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.